The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
I'm glad I could be with you today and have this opportunity again to present to you another message of grace. You know, there's a commonly asked question that people ask me many times when I'm witnessing to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a question you probably have in your mind as well, and that is, are the heathen lost? I want to deal with that question with you today, and before I even get into the question, there is something I would like you to see and understand from the Bible. I'll answer the question as you're thinking I'm asking it, are the heathen lost? But you know, who are the heathen? I used to hear a man talk about the heathen were those who go to Sears and to Penny's and the malls, but we'd laugh at things like that, but you know, that's not too far off. If you look in your Bible and look up that word heathen, let me just show you some references where the Apostle Paul talks about heathens as concerning his ministry. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and it says there in verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." The Apostle Paul talks about his ministry and how God called him out to use him to share a message that he calls grace. But when he says in that verse that when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb, the Apostle Paul was Jewish by birth, and God used him to preach the message of grace among the Gentiles. And when it says in this next verse, "to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen," Paul's referring to you and me. He's referring to Gentiles, people who are other than the nation of Israel. And so when they ask the question, are the heathen lost? No doubt they're lost. God raised up the Apostle Paul and sent him out to the nations to preach unto us heathen the gospel of his grace. But you know, Paul says it again in this book of Galatians, again in chapter 2. There he talks about his ministry in Peter's. In verse 8 it says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision," that is the nation of Israel, the Jews were called the circumcision, "and that he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles. Peter was an apostle to the nation of Israel. The next verse says, "And when James, Cephas," and that's another term for Peter, "and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." And again, we see the parallel in verse 8 and verse 9, that when Paul says that he's the apostle to the Gentiles, he shook hands with Peter. "Peter, you go to the Jews, and I'll go to the heathen." Again, us Gentiles, according to Scripture, are heathen. And then in chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, another reference there, in verse 8, it says, "And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." So God did proclaimed that the Apostle Paul was to go to the Gentiles and preach to us heathen. And I say us heathen because anyone who is of any other nationality other than Israel, God considered us heathen. So are the heathen lost? Surely they're lost. And God sent the Apostle Paul to us to preach to us the gospel. Now I realize that when you ask the question, what we're normally asking, are the heathen, referring to maybe those tribes in the islands of New Guinea or maybe still some of the deepest jungle part of Africa, those people that they never heard the name of Jesus Christ, are they lost? Are they on their way to hell? And you know, I'm going to give you a Bible answer. I'm not going to give you an answer that I'd like to give you. I'm not going to give you an answer that'll make you feel good. I'm going to give you an answer that God gives. And that answer is definitely true, that the heathen are lost. Before I show you from Scripture that that's so, I do want to challenge you and those others who have asked me in the past that question. Because I wonder, when they ask me that question, if there's not an alternative motive in their mind concerning why they're asking that. I think people ask the question, why are the heathen lost? For one of three reasons. The first, if I could give anyone the benefit of the doubt, I'd say it's this. But to ask that question out of concern. To ask, are the heathen lost because they're genuinely concerned for the heathen? And by asking, are they lost, they want to know, is there a way I can help to get the gospel out to the heathen? And in all sincerity, if that's the reason you ask that question, that's a good motive to ask it. And if they are lost, what can we do to get the gospel to the lost heathen? But you know, other people ask that question. I'm not so sure they all have that in mind. I think some people ask the question, are the heathen lost, out of a question of neglect. That is to say, well, it's not my responsibility if they're lost. Someone's got to do something, but it's not going to be me. And they really ask the question, are the heathen lost, so they can neglect to, hopefully they'll hear an answer that, oh, you don't have to worry about them, and after all, they're not worrying about them anyhow. They're sitting on their ease, as the Bible says. They're not doing anything to win people to the Lord, and therefore, they can just ask that question, imply or maybe want to think that the heathen are already saved, or they don't have to hear about Jesus Christ to be saved, so that they can neglect to be concerned and to do something about it. But you know, probably the third and the most reason that that question is asked when you witness to a person about Jesus Christ is they use it to make up an excuse. An excuse that would say, are the heathen lost? And the implication would be, I don't believe they are. And if they're not lost, then I don't have to worry about being lost either. And if they don't have to make a decision, then why are you confronting me about Jesus Christ as if I have to make a decision? And that's usually the reason people ask the question, are the heathen lost? So that they themselves can make an excuse not to make a decision about Jesus Christ and to turn you off and not listen to anyone who is witnessing for Christ about his saving power. But let me assure you, first of all, from the Scripture, the heathen are indeed lost. We've already seen God raised up the Apostle Paul and sent him out to preach to the heathen. Paul, the first book in our Bible that was written by him, is the book of Romans. That is the first in chronological order as the New Testament is put together. And the Apostle Paul, let me read to you just some parts of his introduction. First of all, in verse 5, concerning his calling, he says, by whom, speaking of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. The Apostle Paul says that he has received an apostleship from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to go out and preach the faith among the nations. And he's to preach it for the obedience of the faith among the nations. To obey God's word is to believe what God said. And Paul's an apostle that's sent out to the world to preach a message that the nations are to obey. And that message is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners. And that those who will put their faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can be saved from their sins. And Paul goes out and preaches that message, and for you to obey that message is for you to believe that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved, and that Jesus Christ has paid the way and will save you once you put your faith in his blood. You need to make a decision for Jesus Christ, and that's how you obey the faith. But Paul goes on to say to the Romans as he's writing to them, now I would, in verse 13 of Romans chapter 1, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Paul's never been to the city of Rome, and he's telling them, he don't want them to not doubt for a moment that there's been many times he tried to get to the city of Rome to preach to them. But he was led to other places. See, Rome is the capital of the empire of the world in that day. And certainly the gospel of Jesus Christ, by other means, through Paul ministering to people in other places, has carried that to Rome. They say all roads lead to Rome, don't they? And so people from other areas has already carried the gospel of grace to the people at Rome, and Paul can write to some believers that are there that he's never been to that city yet to preach. And he liked to get to that city, but there's other places that he's got to get to first. And so he said he's been led other places that he might preach among the Gentiles. See, it was necessary that the message get out to the Gentiles, and Paul was doing everything possible to get that message. The reason it's necessary, the heathen are lost. But Paul goes on to say, "I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians." Now, I'm not trying to say in this case that this word barbarians means the aborigines or those who are just jungle people and never seen the outside civilized world. Now, a barbarian in this verse is speaking about a person who is not a Greek-speaking person. And it usually refers to people who are a little bit remote from the populous area of the world, because Greek was the language of the world. And Paul says, "I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians." Those who speak the Greek language in the cultured areas, and those who maybe don't know the Greek language for whatever reason or another, maybe because some are way back in the jungles. But either way, Paul says, "I'm a debtor." He owes it to them to get the message. "I'm a debtor to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise, the scholars down to the simple person." Everybody's got to hear the gospel, and Paul's debt was to share that gospel with them. So he says, "So much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now I kind of paused in there, and I hope you caught that. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." See, if there's a power of God unto salvation, the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ and the message of His death, burial, and resurrection as being the payment for all of our sins so that we can be saved. And Paul's not ashamed to preach that message because there's power to save. See, that implies that the people are lost and they need to be saved. And so he goes out and shares that. He's not ashamed to share it. And it's the power of God to save them that believe. You know, it wasn't long ago, I sat in the living room of a home of a man who, when I first talked to him and asked him if he was saved, he said, "I don't think so." So I asked if I'd come over his house and open up the scriptures and share it with him. And he said, "Sure." And by the way, I suggest to you that if you would like me to come over to your home someday and open up the scriptures and show you how to be saved, I'd like to come to your home too. But I'm glad I have this means through television so that you can just sit there and stop and think, and you can look at this verse yourself. And I'll share the gospel with you now. But I want you to know that I'm available to you as well. But the man, as I read this verse of scripture, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." He stopped me right there and he put his finger on that word "believe" in his Bible. And he said, "That's what I got to do, isn't it?" And I said, "That's right. That's what the Bible's saying. You need to believe the message." And I went ahead to explain to him from this book of Romans what the message is that he had to believe. And that's how a person's saved. So the heathen are lost and they need to believe. Well, even to enforce the fact that they're lost, listen to these next few verses. He says, "For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Even the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." It began to talk about salvation to those who believe. and then God's wrath against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness, and that men are without excuse because they know from within their own nature, from their own inbred instinct that God puts in man when he created him, that there is a God, and they know that. And then not only do they know it from within, but they look around creation and they realize there's one there, and all they have to do is seek, and God will make himself known to them. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said, if you seek, you'll find. If you ask, you'll receive. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. God never turns down someone who desires to know him. And men have enough inbred knowledge of God and enough external witness of God that they ought to be seeking him. And if they did, God says and promises that they will know him. But the problem is that men aren't seeking. And the Bible says they're without excuse. God holds men accountable to find him. Now, how would they find him? Well, let me first tell you that here in Romans chapter 3, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And remember, God's wrath is against all unrighteousness. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. And you know, I like the way Isaiah 53 says it. He says, we have all turned to our own way. You know, the problem isn't that we can't find God. If we sought him, we'd find him. The problem is every man born into this world just thinks that his life and his own existence, his own personal interest is all there is. And you know, we don't want God. We don't look for God. We don't try to get to know God. We don't ask him, why did you create us? What do you want from us? All we know is, what do I want in life? What do I want to get out of life? What am I going to achieve in my life? And we never stop to think about God who created us for a purpose to glorify him. And the Bible says there's none seeking. So the heathen are out there, they're lost. If they sought him, they could be saved. But the Bible says they're not seeking. Now that's dangerous. But you know, the Apostle Paul tells us the remedy for that as well. God still loves us, even in that lost condition. And he says here in Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, what a hope. Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins, totally took care of our sin problem so that whoever would call, that idea of calling on the name of the Lord is the idea of calling. It's like, help, I need to be saved. Call on God, he'll save you. Now, it's to call out in faith. We have to be obedient to the faith. We have to believe the message that Christ died for our sins. But you know, to call on the name of the Lord, his name means Savior. The name Jesus means the one who saves, Savior. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But remember, people aren't seeking God. They don't care about knowing God. How are they going to ever know God then? Well, God reaches down to them. Watch this. The questions are asked after that verse, verse 14 of Romans 10. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Certainly, if you don't believe on someone if you don't believe on someone, the fact that they could save you, you're not going to call on them to do so. So the question is, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? Well, that's what we're all worried about, isn't it? Someone who hasn't heard the message, how are they ever going to believe and be saved? Well, the question's being asked here. And how shall they hear on him without a preacher? Well, they can't. And then it goes on to say, how shall they preach except they be sent? Someone's got to go. Someone's got to share. And you know, God has seen to it that someone has. The verse goes on to say, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so God has done his job. God has sent preachers. We just started out this study seeing how that God raised up the Apostle Paul and sent him out into the world. And Paul says he couldn't get to Rome, the capital city, because there's too many other places to go first. You read the book of Colossians and Paul says that his message has reached the world. He went out and he preached and people carried that on. And you know, the places that we call today uncivilized were once the central life of the earth. The cradle of the earth, they call it, over in the Middle East and down through Africa and Ethiopia area. Egypt used to be one of the most powerful nations. And you know, those areas that now we look at and we call some of those people worry about whether they ever heard of Christ because of the doctrines and the gods that they believe in the East. That's where it all was first preached. And God did his part. God sent so that people could hear, so that people could believe, so that people could call on the name of the Lord and be saved. The real problem was, and is expressed here in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. That's the problem. People have heard it and turned it down. And Paul, who was sent to preach God's message of grace for obedience of faith among all nations, he did his part. God saw to it that man who would not seek him has heard, but man chose not to believe. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? God has sent messengers into the world and people have turned it down. And as a result of that, there are dark continents on the earth today, but the same remedy that God gave the first time is the remedy again, and that is to go preach the message. And by the way, that's the purpose of this TV broadcast, is to share with you that message. How about the heathen? How about you? We're doing our part right here to make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ reaches you. You know, the Apostle Paul was sent out in the book of Acts, chapter 13. God saved him in Acts chapter 9, and right there said that he was a special vessel to preach God, preach Jesus Christ among the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 13, it says this in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Saul's Paul's Hebrew name. For the work whereunder I have called them. Paul was, his name Saul was his Hebrew name. And now the Holy Spirit says, separate Saul to the work I've called him for. As you go down through this passage in verse 9, it says, then Saul, who is called Paul. God begins to call him by a Gentile name because now he's going out among the Gentiles doing the ministry that God called him to preach his grace among the Gentiles. Paul, as he's doing that, is sharing Jesus Christ with both Jew and Gentile, as the verse said, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He goes through different islands on this journey, and in verse 38 of this chapter it says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which that ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Paul preached this message, and Paul shares a message that through Jesus Christ there's preaching of forgiveness of sins. That's the message of the cross. Remember, Christ died for our sins. If our sins are paid for, there's a way, there's a hope that we can be forgiven. And it's through Jesus Christ. That next verse said, and by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe, that's what's necessary to be saved, are justified from all things. Whatever sin you've ever done, Jesus Christ already paid for it, and you can be declared right from all your sins. And who can be? Notice what Paul's saying here. By him, all that believe. So the point is, it's not just the Jews that are going to be saved. Paul's going out to the heathen and telling that all who believe, you can believe and be saved. And so Paul goes and shares that message. Verse 44, the Jews are assembled there. Verse 45, it says, and when the Jews, a week later, saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. Jews saw Gentiles coming to Paul to hear the message of their salvation, and they envied that. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming, trying to cause people not to believe the message. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing ye put it far from ye, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord hath commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. God ordained many to eternal life. And what he did is not that he just ordain that the Jews should have an opportunity to be saved, but now he sent Paul out with a message of grace to invite Gentiles and give them the opportunity to be saved. When the Gentiles heard that God sent them to the Gentiles for their salvation, they believed. And so the gospel went to the heathen and through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And it continues to go that way as people who are concerned go out and share the gospel, how people can be saved. But you know, I remind you that the Jews contradicted and blasphemed the things that Paul said. And Paul said to them, it was necessary that the word should first be spoken to them. But he says this, but seeing that ye put it far from you, put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul said to those Jews who were rejecting his message, you don't want it? I'm going to give it to the next person. I'm going to give it to the Gentiles, for so the Lord hath commanded us. And the Apostle Paul carried that message out, but you know, that's been the problem all along. The message isn't, what about the people who haven't heard? People are hearing all the time. The message is, what about the people who have heard? And the people who haven't heard, let's get busy and share it. But you have heard today that Jesus Christ loved you and died on the cross for your sins. That you're saved not by church attendance and membership and through good works, but you're saved by believing you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ can justify you from all sin. And I would ask you not to judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life and turn down the gift of eternal life that's through Jesus Christ. But I would challenge you to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, the one who died on the cross for you. Are the heathen lost? Well, definitely they are. But God loves them and found a way to save them and sent a messenger out to share it. And as we today share this message to you, we would challenge you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved. See, we are the heathen, and God loved us. Christ died for us. Will you be obedient to the faith? Will you believe?
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.